Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I'll just open in prayer for my bit. I've been lots of prayers this morning, so this is amazingly quick, okay? Yes, Lord, please let everything that I say this morning be of you, and that it has an impact on everybody who hears it. Amen.
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 Amen. Okay. I'd like to start first with a bit of audience participation. Okay. Kelsey's already going, ooh. I would like you to raise your hand if you have ever given your testimony. Okay. That means you could have a microphone in front of you. Keep them raised. No. Keep them raised. Okay. Have you ever, for the others that haven't raised their hands, shared how God has met you with friends or family or work colleagues? I know, Gina, you had your hand up before. Can you, those that had their hands up, keep their hands up? It's hard, yeah? So those that have still got their hands down, don't worry, because I've got one more question to ask. Okay? Have you shared your testimony in the last week? In the last week? Jim has?
Yes.
Jim, you can go home, you're all right. Everybody else can stop here. Okay? Because the rest of it, this is for you. When we first started doing Acts, we sort of skipped how Paul met Jesus on the Damascus Road for various reasons. I really love it how God repeats himself. It's amazing how he does it, to be able to turn it around. We've missed something and he repeats it, so we get it. Steve, a couple of weeks ago, shared about how you tell your testimony through the stories that you have. And he did a preach on that, and I'm going to do the same thing, but from a slightly different angle. Okay? So first, I'm going to ask Jeanette to come up and read a scripture. The scripture is going to be a whole chapter. That's why I'm not reading it, because I can't read that much. And it's going to be Chapter 26, for those that have got the Bibles, from Acts. We are going to be reading from the New Living Translation. Pete. Microphone. This one.
Okay, right. Reading from Acts, chapter 26. Then Agrippa said to Paul, "You may speak in your defense." So Paul, gesturing with his hand, started his defense. "I am fortunate, King Agrippa, that you are the one hearing my defense today against all these accusations made by the Jewish leaders. For I know that you are an expert on all Jewish customs and controversies. Now please listen to me patiently. As the Jewish leaders are well aware, I was given a thorough Jewish training from my earliest childhood among my own people in Jerusalem. If they would admit it, they know that I have been a member of the Pharisees, the strictest sect of our religion. Now I am on trial because of my hope in the fulfillment of God's promise made to our ancestors. In fact, that is why the 12 tribes of Israel zealously worship God night and day, and they share the same hope I have. Yet, Your Majesty, they accuse me for having this hope. Why does it seem incredible to any of you that God can raise the dead? I used to believe that I ought to do everything I could to oppose the very name of Jesus the Nazarene. Indeed, I did just that in Jerusalem, authorized by the leading priests I caused many believers there to be sent to prison, and I cast my vote against them when they were condemned to death. Many times I had them punished in the synagogues to get them to curse Jesus. I was so violently opposed to them that I even chased them down in foreign cities. One day I was on such a mission to Damascus, armed with the authority and commission of the leading priests. About noon, Your Majesty, as I was on the road, a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shone down on me and my companions. We all fell down, and I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is useless for you to fight against my will." "Who are you, Lord?" I asked. And the Lord replied, "I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Now get to your feet, for I have appeared to you to appoint you as my servant and witness. Tell people that you've seen me, and tell them what I will show you in the future. And I will rescue you from both your own people and the Gentiles. Yes, I am sending you to the Gentiles to open their eyes so they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. Then they will receive forgiveness for their sins and be given a place among God's people who are set apart by faith in me." And so, King Agrippa, I obeyed that vision from heaven, and I preached first to those in Damascus, then in Jerusalem, and throughout all Judea, and also to the Gentiles, that all may repent of their sins and turn to God, and prove that they have changed by the good things they do. Some Jews arrested me in the temple for preaching this, and they tried to kill me. But God has protected me right up to this present time so that I can testify to everyone, from the least to the greatest. I teach nothing except what the prophets and Moses said would happen, that the Messiah would suffer and be the first to rise from the dead, and in this way announce God's light to the Jews and Gentiles alike. Suddenly Festus shouted, "Paul, you're insane! Too much study has made you crazy." But Paul replied, "I'm not insane, most excellent Festus. What I'm saying is the sober truth. And King Agrippa knows about these things. I speak boldly, for I am sure these events are all familiar to him, for they were not done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know you do." Agrippa interrupted him, "Do you think you can persuade me to become a Christian so quickly?" Paul replied, "Whether quickly or not, I pray to God that both you and everyone here in this audience might become the same as I am, except for these chains." Then the king, the governor, Bernice, and all the others stood and left. As they went out, they talked over and agreed, "This man hasn't done anything to deserve death or imprisonment." And Agrippa said to Festus, "He could have been set free if he hadn't appealed to Caesar."
I think that was amazingly well read. Paul had an amazing encounter with God on the Damascus Road. All of you have had an amazing encounter with God if you've become a Christian. And if you haven't met him yet, you will have an amazing encounter with God. That will be your testimony. I want to share with you a few things that I believe God has put on my heart through that passage, and I want to explore them a bit. If you have ever given your testimony, do people believe you? Yes. Maybe. No. Sometimes. My question and challenge for you this morning is, can you be a credible witness for what God has done for you? Some of you, as you've already said, maybe not think you're able to do so. And I want to try, if I can, to change that thinking to be so you can do that. How? You're all thinking, how can I be a credible witness? We're going to use Paul as an example. The verses 9 to 11 in that passage, we see that Paul has a big problem. I'm just going to read it. I used to believe that I ought to do everything I could to oppose the very name of Jesus the Nazarene. Indeed, I did just that in Jerusalem. Authorized by the leading priests, I caused many believers there to be sent to prison, and I cast my vote against them when they were condemned to death. Many times I had them punished in the synagogues to get them to curse Jesus. I was so violently opposed to them that I even chased them down in foreign cities. He was the man who held the courts when Stephen was stoned to death. Paul had led a life that was very far from what you would call a Christian life. His reputation goes before him. So how did Paul change that reputation? Paul initially had two advocates, Ananias in Damascus and Barnabas in Jerusalem. The Lord spoke to Ananias in a vision, but Ananias really needed some convincing. If you read the text in Acts 9 verse 17 to 18, he says, "But Lord," exclaimed Ananias, "I've heard many people talk about the terrible things this man has done to the believers in Jerusalem, and he is authorized by the leading priest to arrest everyone who calls upon your name." But the Lord said, "Go, for Saul is my chosen instrument to take my message to the Gentiles and to kings, as well as to the people of Israel. And I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake." So Ananias went and found Saul. He laid his hands on him and said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road, has sent me so that you might regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Instantly, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he regained his sight. Then he got up and was baptized. Ananias had a vision from God about Saul. What Ananias then did fulfilled that. He went to him, he prayed for him, and then, probably, he stood with Paul in the synagogues as a witness to what the change in Paul. That, in turn, helped convince others that Paul had changed and what he was saying was true. So much so that the chief priests, who had earlier sent Paul after the believers, tried to kill him. And he had to escape over the wall in a basket. Ananias had a word from God regarding Paul. But the Bible doesn't say that Barnabas did. So what did what won Barnabas over? This is the word that came to me. Consistency. Consistency. Paul would start to preach in Damascus the good news. When he arrived back in Jerusalem, he did the same, but nobody believed him. His reputation went before him. People were afraid. But because of what he had started to do and what he'd started to say, Barnabas spoke up for him. He was a very brave man, Barnabas. Very brave. And he spoke up for him in front of the apostles. Paul had not only changed what he said, but what he did. When I first became a Christian, nobody believed me either. Like Paul, my reputation went before me. I weren't a great bloke. That didn't bother me with the people, with most people. But when I gave my life and I had to share it with my family and my close friends, they didn't get it. Didn't get it. What's all this nonsense? This isn't you. I am now 18 years being a Christian, and my family still don't get it. Don't get it. Don't understand it. But they've come to realise that it's part of who I am and what I am. And if you know my family, that's a miracle. It really is. How did I get to where I am with my family? Consistency. You may have been wondering what this is, why it's here. It is not a new offering basket. We're not going in for endorsements at Community Church Blackburn.
Have you got more chicken than the KFC?
That's about it, Pete. I will say about that right now. If you have seen the news this week, you will understand that I might have had to drop this part of my message this morning. Because the KFC have had a few issues of late with chicken not being delivered. And for a chicken franchise, that's not great, is it really? Luckily, I found one that was open. And they were quite happy that all I wanted was an empty bucket. In fact, the girl who served me said, sometimes the people come in and just ask for them to wear them as hats. What do you think? This week, Community Church Blackburn. Next week, the parish fashion show. No? I think I might make them compulsory. Because I can do that. Anyway, back to my point. Why have I brought this? Of all the fast foods out there, this is my favourite. Do you know in the world there are only two people who know the recipe for the coating? But every time you go, it tastes exactly the same. Consistency. Do you hear people? Do people hear what you say and think, well, I thought you were a Christian? And do people see what you do and think, I thought she was a Christian? Or do they think when they see you do something and say something, do they think, oh, that's different, and wonder what it is? Do you have a secret recipe? You do. It's called Jesus. But unlike Colonel Saunders here, he doesn't want you to keep it a secret. He wants you to share it. So from now, Ryan, are you ready? The letters KFC. Are you ready? Come on. Don't mean Kentucky Fried Chicken. Come on. Is it not working, Ryan? Never mind. I had a little slide that said, in that, it said, instead of KFC, it says, keep following Christ. That's my illustration for today. Keep following Christ. Paul accepted Jesus into his life. And he kept repeating his testimony, consistently following Jesus. Right, press play at the top. Yeah? And go to the slide. Hey! Keep following Christ. There we go. We got there in the end. Paul must have given his testimony countless times. This is just what a flavour. This is a flavour of what Paul had to do. And we did it last night, didn't we, in youth? What? You pay attention, you listen. When he came to Jerusalem, came back to Jerusalem, Paul was arrested. He was even taken to prison, and he told his testimony to the crowd from the steps of the fortress. Then he was put before the high council and had to explain himself again. This time that didn't go well and they tried to kill him again. Then he was sent to the command by the commander of the garrison to Caesarea, to Governor Felix, for his safety. Again he was questioned over and over, this time for how many years? 2 years he was questioned. Felix was then succeeded by governor of Judea by Porcius Festus. Festus seems like a man of action, as within a fortnight he had set up a new court to hear Paul's case. Paul defends himself again. A few days later, he is now before King Agrippa and his sister Bernice. This, to Paul, is like Groundhog Day. Yeah? Throughout this entire time, Paul had been consistent and true to God. Angela has a great saying. I want you to take away this saying because it's great. When you are dealing with difficult people, be like a broken record. Keep repeating what is right and true. Okay? Another expression, if you talk the talk, you must walk the walk. Consistency. That is what finally won my family over. I believe in Jesus and try to act accordingly. My family still don't get it. But I don't have them difficult conversations anymore. How did Paul keep going through all the things that happened to him, the threats on his life, the long years in prison? If you go back to Acts 23, verse 11, we see that night the Lord appeared to Paul and said, "Be encouraged, Paul. Just as you have been a witness to me here in Jerusalem, you must preach the good news in Rome as well. This was just before Paul was sent to Caesarea, before he went to prison. The Lord had told Paul he was going to Rome, and Paul believed him. Why? Consistency. Jesus had been with Paul throughout his life, but Paul hadn't known it until the Damascus Road. From the moment Ananias prayed for him and the scales fell from his eyes, Paul was a changed man and started to have a relationship with Jesus. Slide, Ryan. Hebrews 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Slide, Ryan. Romans 8, 38, verse 9. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Slide. Psalm 136, verse 1. Give thanks to the Lord, for he's good, and his steadfast love endures forever. There are countless scriptures that testify to God's faithfulness to us. Even though we might falter and fail, he never does. Never. His consistency is without question. I bet there are many people in this room can look back and say that God has been with them through good times and bad. Sometimes we don't see it through the bad times, but he's there all the same. Romans 8, verse 28 is a scripture that I personally held on to through my most difficult times. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and who are called according to his purpose for them. That helped me. That really did. What do we say every week in this church? All the time, God is good. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. He is consistent. He never fails. Ever. What do I want you to take away from this morning? He will never leave you, nor forsake you, and his love endures forever. Bullet point, Ryan. Bullet point. Have we got to there? I'll come back to that. Bullet point. Be consistent in your faith. Try to conduct yourself accordingly. Build a closer relationship with God so you know his presence. Say and do what God wants you to do and not just to conform to society. Ask God for discernment when you're in difficult situations. Sometimes giving your testimony isn't with words, it's with action. And try to be a credible witness. Okay. At the beginning of this preach, I sort of said, how can you be credible? What holds you back? Why do people not believe you? Something, you might have something that holds you back. Something, area that you're struggling in. Nobody's perfect. Nobody. Nobody's perfect. I will be honest with you, church. Honest with you. Here in church, I think I'm a credible witness. At home, I sometimes have my frustrations, as the kids will say. Not great when they come out, get a bit shouty. But generally, I'm all right. They'll have to judge. With my family, I'm on my best behaviour. Why? Because that's who I want to reach. That's who I want to witness to. But at work, I'm not that hot. My biggest problem is I swear too much. Before I gave my life 18 years ago, the guys at work used to call me effing Jeff. But when I gave my life, I stopped swearing and they noticed. You wouldn't believe the ribbing I got when I told them why. That's another story for another time. But sadly, swearing at work has gradually come back. Satan would want you to believe that you are condemned if you fail. You are not a good enough Christian if you do something that Jesus isn't happy with. Do you sometimes feel like that? That you're not a good enough Christian? That's rubbish. That is total rubbish. There is no condemnation in Christ. None. If the Holy Spirit has brought something to mind for you, an area that you struggle with in your witness, God wants to help you with it, not condemn you. If you may want to change some of that behaviour, and I would like to pray for you in a moment or two to help you do that. You may need a friend to help you, to pray with you, be accountable to. An Ananias or a Barnabas. There are a lot of people in this room. Who's the person the Holy Spirit is pointing to for you for help? What if someone comes and asks you to help them? Are you going to take it seriously? Are you going to be consistent? Not just for yourself, but for them. I believe being consistent and true to your faith sometimes speaks to people more than what you actually say. We have seen in the scriptures that have come up on the screen that God will never let you down. So may I suggest that you're asking for his help? However, the people you love and the people that you really want to come to Christ, they may take years or never do. I just want to say that is also not your fault. It's up to God and them. It's between them, not you. All you can do is what you do. You may, like Paul, spend many years convincing people that you believe in Christ. I did. And I still need help in some areas. You may know someone who needs Jesus in their life. Be their witness. Be their Ananias or Barnabas. That's basically what I've got left. But I've got one last story to tell. When I was 12, 13, at school, there was one day a vicar came into our classroom and he said, "Does anybody believe in Jesus? Put their hands up." And Nobody did. Nobody. There was one little boy, he put his hand up and said, "I don't believe in Jesus, I believe in the Big Bang." Whether that boy was trying to be ignorant or clever or trying to impress some girls or something, can't really say. Well, that boy, many years later, is standing here, right now. God turns things around. God's got an amazing sense of humour. From somebody who said, "Don't believe in you, believe in the Big Bang," to somebody sharing up here right now. I'm not Paul. I weren't persecuting anybody, but he turned him around, didn't he? He can turn anything around. He can turn anything around. It's amazing. God is amazing. And he's an amazing God. I just like you to share that. Just think of that. If he can get me up here, he can get anybody. I was so far from God. So far. I sometimes think about that vicar. Well, I thought about him this morning, actually. And I just thought, I wonder if he went home, did he pray for me? Did he pray for me? Because if he did, he was probably the first one that did. And he would never know what that prayer happened, what results that prayer had. Never know. Prayer. Who can tell? In this church, we believe in full body ministry. So if God's been speaking to you about something this morning, I'm very happy for you to come and share something. Very happy. If you want to have a word with Sylvana, if you're unsure whether it's right for town now or not, have a word with Sylvana. If you think you can come and share straight off, no problem. But I really want to pray for those that are struggling in areas today. As the thing said, as Paul said, when he was before Agrippa, he said, "I want everybody in this audience to be like me without the chains." If those are chains that you're struggling with, then let's get rid of them. Let's get rid of them. Yeah? So let's pray, eh? Let the Holy Spirit minister to us. If you want prayer, make it known to somebody. Yeah? And we'll come and pray with you. If you want prayer at the front, that's fine. If you've got stuff that you need to work out, if you need an Ananias or a Barnabas, let that be known. See who God's speaking to you about that. And we'll go from there. Okay. Yes, Lord. I just like to thank you this morning. I pray that anything that I've said that is not of you, that is banished to the furthest places, Lord. But I really believe, Lord, that you can touch people this morning. You can heal them in their struggles. And also, Lord, that you can help them to be a witness for you in their daily lives, wherever it may be. You know, it's not just words that you have to say for us, Lord. We don't just need words. It's our actions, how we live our lives, what some example we set. That, over the long term, is what speaks. So please help us, Lord, in all those things. Amen.